This is the Stone Creek Coffee Podcast coming to you from Antigua, Guatemala, which is exciting. I'm Drew. I'm flying solo today. Well, not exactly solo, but I don't have Christian with me because he's busy cupping coffees. But I do have Adrian Cabrera, who is part of the family that runs the San Sebastian Farm and the San Miguel family of coffees here out of Antigua, Guatemala.
Hello.
Yeah, you can be natural. Christian okay. And I joke around a lot.
So, okay.
Yeah. We're going to talk about really what it is to grow up around coffee at origin. Christian and I have done episodes on how to learn coffee in the States, whether you're a home barista or if you're trying to get into coffee as a professional barista or you're interested in becoming a director of coffee or an executive in a coffee company. We've talked a lot about that stuff, but we haven't talked about sort of growing up in coffee or getting into coffee on the origin side. So that's why we have Adrian with us. And my background with Adrian is 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, I guess, when I first came to Guatemala, Adrian showed us around. We spent a lot of time, Christian and I, with Adrian, learning about the San Sebastian and San Miguel farms and the San Miguel mill. And so Adrian was the family rep, really, for us, the representative for the family that hosted us. And we become great friends, I think. Maybe I'm speaking for myself, but I think we've become great friends, and we're always excited to come back here. So I thought it'd be great for our listeners back in Wisconsin to hear a little bit of the personal side of coffee in Antigua, Guatemala. So Adrian, just tell us a little bit about yourself personally. What do you like to do?
All right. Well, first, I'll say we are great friends. So
okay, cool. That's good. I was nervous.
So I'm 21 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very active person. I like sports.
Soccer
especially, but
he'd probably be too modest to tell you, but Adrian was a highly recruited soccer player, a phenomenal soccer player, and is a phenomenal soccer player. It's not like you stopped.
Yeah.
For a while, though, right?
Well, yeah, I'm 21, so I played for about 18 years, before I decided to stop and pursue other things. Yeah, I like sports. I like dirt bikes, among other things. I enjoy music and especially hanging out with my family. I love my family and I love people. So I've really enjoyed the company of the Stone Creek
nice.
Crew this week.
Awesome. So then, so you grew up more or less around coffee, right? So I know Adrian's dad, Edgar, is our main point of contact when we buy coffee from San Sebastian. He is the primary salesperson, but he has only been doing that for
12 years
or so. So you didn't grow up with your dad doing sales the entire mm-hmm. time, but tell us about how you grew up around this farm. And
okay. All of us as a family, we live in Guatemala City, and the farms are in Antigua, Guatemala. So we grew up coming for the weekends mostly. My dad and my uncle probably would come during the week for work, but I was not involved in those visits.
Right.
But I remember coming on the weekends and just hanging out with my dad and walking the fields or driving around the farm. And I really felt drawn to it. I didn't know what drawn me into the coffee, but there was just something nice about it.
How old were you when you started drinking coffee?
When I started drinking coffee, probably 14, 15,
okay,
once so in a while.
Yeah, late bloomer.
Late bloomer.
Yeah.
Late bloomer. But I really loved the farm life, and I noticed that my dad was meeting a lot of people from all over the world, and I was really into that.
So you were a very serious soccer player up until you were 18 or mm-hmm. so. How, coming out of soccer, did you decide, well, I think I want to actually learn more about coffee? Because you've been really active now at the farm and with your dad mm-hmm. For the last 2 years, right?
2 years, yeah.
Yeah. So how did you make that decision?
Okay. Yeah, so I think it was when I was probably 15 years old that I first asked my dad and my uncle for a summer job at the farm. My uncle is the one in charge of the farms.
Estuardo.
So he oversees the farm, the agricultural side, the exporting.
Mm-hmm. So it really is a family business.
It is a family business, yep. entirely, yes.
So you asked your dad and your uncle.
Mm-hmm. And so that summer, I raked coffee for weeks. I had a really bad farmer's tent. Yeah.
So you said, hey, can I help out? And they hand you a rake.
Basically. Okay. Basically, at that time, we had a very different meal than what we have right now. So there was some different jobs I could do. I also worked on the poinsettias and other areas of the coffee.
Mm.
But I think that's when I first started realizing the amount of work that goes behind a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And so I did that for a couple of summers. And by the time I was about to graduate, I had already started to think about leaving soccer and not taking any of the scholarship offers for school in the U.S.
How many scholarship offers did you have?
Around 30.
Okay, 30. That's 30.
Yeah, it was a tough decision.
Yeah, and that's a great story for another time, maybe.
All right, sounds good.
So I know I've heard that story, and it is truly incredible.
Yeah. So I was on one side thinking that I was tired of soccer. I didn't like the environment. It was not the sport that I didn't like, but the environment.
Right.
And I was really enjoying the coffee environment.
Mm.
But I didn't know if I wanted to pursue it or not.
Okay.
So by the time I was checking the scholarship offers, an opportunity arose to take an internship at a U.S. company, coffee.
Yep, and what company was that?
Thrive Farmers. They're based in Atlanta.
Yep, and Thrive actually provides all the coffee for Chick-fil-A. That's their biggest account. Mm-hmm. They've only been around now for 5 years or so. But a very big, very cool company that focuses on providing transparency in coffee to large companies, and particularly Chick-fil-A. You don't really see that happen a lot in fast food, but you see amazing coffee quality for a fast food chain in Chick-fil-A, and a lot of transparency on where the coffee comes from. So you spent a year then, and is that where sort of your understanding of the business of coffee began to develop?
I think so, yeah. So before I, or when I started my internship at Thrive Farmers, I had no clue what I liked or what I did not like
in coffee,
or what area I wanted to pursue in coffee.
Okay.
So I think that year, that's what I kind of found out.
Okay.
And also I got to experience or to see firsthand the market that my family's after, or what the market is turning to in the U.S. And it was during that time that I got to visit Stone Creek at Milwaukee.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah.
Because we were buying your coffee. We started buying San Sebastian, I think, 3 years ago. So this mm-hmm. is the fourth year that we've actually offered that coffee, which is exciting. And it's definitely exciting to have people from Origin come see us in Milwaukee. That's super cool. Comes kind of full circle at that point. Feels like it. So you mentioned there were things you liked working at Thrive and things you didn't like. Like, what side of coffee do you not like?
Well, I'm going to change my words and okay. say...
like less?
Like less, yes. So the agricultural side and the processing, I really enjoy, and I think it's a complete art, but that's not where my passion is.
Okay.
So I think my passion is with people and talking about the coffees and being creative in how to sell that coffee.
Mm.
Yeah,
so. the business side of moving coffee from, hey, I have this coffee, to getting it in somebody else's hands to roast it and
exactly.
sell it to the final consumer.
Yeah, and I guess also transmit the story behind it and the amount of work. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we have similar passions. I mean, a lot of people who get into coffee in the States are really into brewing the coffee and tasting it and even buying it, which is so fun to go and buy coffee. But not everybody is into, well, how do we sell this to other people? Mm-hmm. Which I sort of understand, because it's hard and you don't want to feel like you're imposing on somebody by trying to get them to buy your product. But you even said something that's so key, is that everywhere from farm to cup, like, the transactions should happen, and I think they happen best in relationships. So it's not that we just have this thing where we contact you once a year and then we buy coffee through email. I mean, we do email, but we come down here, we build our relationship, we see what new things you're doing, we taste the coffees here, and so that we know each other well, and we can build a relationship that's beneficial for both of us as we grow.
For sure.
And even, like, that's one of the things that we did today is Adrian was in this meeting with Edgar and I as we talked about how to grow our relationship together, so that as we move into the future, San Sebastian and San Miguel benefit, and Stone Creek Coffee also benefits. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit more about what you did as an intern at Thrive.
Okay. So basically... what we did is we divided the year that I was there into trimesters, you could call it, where I was with the marketing team, I was with the quality control team, sales, operations, and that's how it started. So as the first months, and I started realizing what I liked, I asked for permission to just stay at certain departments.
Got it.
So I really enjoyed the marketing. I didn't want to stay full-time with the quality control, but I would always jump into cuppings and being on the road and visiting roasters. And that's what I enjoyed a lot. I also got to serve coffee at certain events and be face-to-face with customers and talk about coffee. So that's a little bit of what I did.
And then you do a lot of travel now. Like, so when you came back, you're traveling, seeing roasters that Thrive worked with, and companies that Thrive worked with. You went to SCAA at the time. Now it's SCA. You got a lot of exposure to the American coffee scene.
I did, yes.
So what have you been up to in the year, right? It's been a year since you were at Thrive?
A year and a half, okay. A little bit more, yeah.
So what have you been up to recently then?
Okay, so before coming back from Thrive, I had already started thinking what I wanted to do.
Sure.
But since it's a family business, and you could say that my generation is, nobody has been involved in my generation.
Okay, so nobody in your generation, or not very many people in the family in your generation want to be involved in coffee.
Yeah, or none had before. So coming with the desire to do it was great, and my family was happy about it, but there was no plan. So it was a hard...
figure it out.
Yeah, figuring it out. It was... It was, you could say, a challenge, because we all had the desire, but we didn't know how to approach it. And on one hand, I want to feel productive, but they're busy, so you don't want to feel like you're...
Sure.
So it was this interesting dynamic. But I think I learned a lot on the marketing side in the U.S., so how I started was just offering my family video production. Well, I basically just did these projects on my own and then delivered the material, and that was it. And kind of started trying to help, and at the time just learned at the farm. And
you can keep going.
Yeah.
So you started doing videos. You started an Instagram, right?
I started Instagram. Well, we had Instagram before.
Oh, okay.
But I think we had like 20 pictures in a matter of 2 years or something. Okay. And it was a little bit all over the place. So,
sure.
So I took over Instagram. I built the website myself on Wix. And then we've been, you could say, walking in the direction of rebranding our, well, doing rebranding
for yeah.
our brands. Yeah.
Yeah, sharpening the brand of the coffees, because even I've said San Sebastian and San Miguel, and if you read about our coffee from Antigua here, it can be a little bit confusing to understand it all. So, yeah, I totally understand.
Yeah.
Wanting to bring some clarity there, and it's important if you're trying to sell your green coffee to roasters in the States that you can communicate, what do we have to offer that's different from other farms in terms of quality and consistency? Yeah, it's really important. We face the same battle in Milwaukee because there's a lot of different coffee roasters. And so what makes Stone Creek Coffee different than any other coffee company? Important questions to answer for sure.
Yeah.
So what else are you doing besides marketing? I mean, you've been running around with us for the last few days. And
yeah. So before I moved to Thrive, I would come to the farm when my dad had clients over and just shadow. And literally shadow, because I felt so overwhelmed that I would not say a word. I would be quiet for a week.
Oh, man. But just intimidated?
A little bit.
Guys in suits? Nobody wore a suit here, did they?
No.
Oh,
but
that's good.
But at the time, you could say I was 17 or so.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about coffee besides raking.
Yeah, okay. If you haven't clued in yet, we're outside. That's why the wind will blow occasionally. It's because it's too beautiful here to sit inside to record a podcast. You need to sit outside to record a podcast.
Yeah. That was my first experiences with clients. And I remember always asking my dad, like, when is the next group coming? I want to be there. Yeah. And so I did my internship at Thrive. I was there for about 6 months, came back for Christmas and did the same thing, hanged out with visits, and I think I saw you guys that year as well. I think I remember going with Christian and watching the Yellow Caturras when they were very young.
Got it. So was Eric here that time?
I think he was.
Okay, cool. Uh-huh. That may have been the first year that we actually bought coffee.
Yeah, so when I came back from my internship, I also started helping out with visits. I felt a little bit more comfortable because I knew more about coffee. But this year, you could say that's the first time that I've been delegated responsibility over some groups. And I feel like they can trust me now.
Yeah, you absolutely,
so it feels good.
You absolutely know what you're doing. And, both employee trips we brought here, Adrian has done most of the work in showing us around and taking care of us, and it's been great. Like, great trips, and our employees have absolutely loved it, coming here and seeing the coffee, and, I mean, you and Sabas are really fun to hang out with, so we really appreciate all of that time for sure. So what's next now? I mean, where do you go from here? So you're starting to help with the marketing within the farms and the family company. You're doing some work with clients.
Mm-hmm. For me right now, it has to do with formalizing my role.
Mm. Get a title?
Well,
your dad doesn't even have a title.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm not.
Sales,
I don't worry about a title right now, but just a role.
Got it.
Have a clear road for what I want to do.
A path.
Yeah. Establish a path of growth, you could say, inside the family. So I think right now I can add value to the family in certain areas, but at the same time I feel like I need to learn so much more on the coffee side. So it's gonna have to come hand by hand. And I see this year, like, I'm going to continue to learn how the market is acting in the coffee industry. So I'm going to I'm planning, right, and I hope I can visit Stone Creek again.
Yeah, well, I think we've got that almost on the calendar, so.
Yeah, all right, so, that's great.
I'm pretty sure it's happening in April, so yeah. That's exciting.
So, yeah, I've been to Costa Rica a couple of times in the last weeks, visiting a lot of farmers, learning the processes they're doing. I'm going to be at SCAA in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might fly to San Francisco and visit some other roasters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some other trips are going to come mm-hmm. like that during the year. And also, at the end of the year, I'm planning a trip just by myself to New Zealand. And it's going to be just vacation for me. But part of what I want to do is visit roasters and see how the industry is on the other side of the world.
Yeah. I know in New Zealand, specialty coffee is pretty popular. And mm-hmm. even if you just jump over to Australia from there, like Australia has a really booming coffee scene. Mm-hmm. Like it's pretty remarkable there. So I'd like to get to Australia at some point.
Yeah.
So if you have to reflect back on your time in coffee from the time even you're a younger kid mm-hmm. following your dad around to now as, you know, you're establishing your profession in coffee. What do you think was the, if you had to think of a time that was like the funniest thing that ever happened to you in coffee, because we were talking about things that have happened at Stone Creek that were really funny yesterday, but you didn't share anything. So I want to see what the funniest thing you had was.
That's a tough one. All right. I think I got one.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's hear it.
So on one of those summers that I worked at the farm.
Mm-hmm. Early on?
Early on, 17? Yeah, when I was 15, 16. Oh, 15, okay. Yeah. And even it also happened a couple of years ago that I became, because I worked with the guys on the mill,
mm-hmm.
we became friends, and it was so cool because it was like a trust relationship where we could tease each other. Sure. It was a close relationship.
So it wasn't like you were the son of the...
Exactly.
Yeah, you were just one of the guys.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I might jump forward a couple of years. So because of this friendship, if I'm here and I have my soccer boots or my soccer cleats, I would try to jump on one of the lunch... soccer matches.
Yeah, we went and saw one of those yesterday. It was super cool.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but this time we had a film crew working on a video for the farm, and I told them, "Hey, let's stop working for a couple of hours and just let's go and play soccer with the guys." And they said, "Yeah, sure. And why don't we keep the camera rolling during the match, and let's just play." So I'm like, yeah, cool. So we played. And at the end of the day, I'm watching the game on my computer. And I almost pee myself up listening how the guys that were not playing were trash talking about all of us.
Oh, man.
it was so funny because...
You're just recording the audio of the guys sitting there watching the game.
Exactly. And there were things like... They would ask me, "Hey Adrian, who do you play for in Guatemala?" And I told them I played for the first team of Antigua. And they're like, "Do you play for Antigua or in Antigua?" Which is too basic. And I left and they kept talking about it and teasing. And it was so funny. And you would miss a goal. And
yeah, they're pretty ruthless up
there.
They are.
Yeah. They are. You heard yesterday the macadamia head joke.
Yeah, there's a bald gentleman who was playing who had a head that resembled a macadamia. And so they let him have it anytime he did anything.
Yeah, so... But the funny thing is they didn't know that the camera was rolling.
Yeah.
So a couple days later...
So they get fired?
Well, no. No, but I saw them and I told them, "Hey, guys, the camera was rolling and you're in trouble." And one of them was like pale. Like, "Are you serious?"
That's poetic.
"We're sorry." But they didn't say anything mean, but the guy was just. So it's funny. Every time I see him now, I tease him a little bit.
Oh, nice. And,
yeah. So yesterday, he played a little bit. So I told him, It's my time. It's my turn, and it's my turn, and I'm gonna tease you.
Nice.
It's just, yeah. There's a lot of fun times.
Fun relationships.
Yeah.
Fun dynamics.
Yeah.
On the farms at any one time with the pickers and the farm year-round farm workers. I mean, right now you said there's some 700 maybe people.
About, yeah.
Yeah. And then when it's not picking season, what do you have?
About 100 total.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's a really big operation. Mm-hmm. And at Stone Creek, we work with, I mean, all shapes and sizes of coffee producers. From, you know, just a tiny little producer that makes 6 bags and we buy all of it to, you know, San Sebastian that makes, well, I mean, out of just the San Sebastian farm, there's how many containers?
About 20. It varies through over the years, but 20.
Yeah, so you could produce 20 containers out of San Sebastian, and a container is 300 bags or so that each weigh 150 pounds, and mm-hmm. we buy one container of San mm-hmm. Sebastian. So, I mean, the scale at even that farm is very big, and then there's the whole San Miguel mill, which you guys operate, which is a lot more coffee.
There is a lot of coffee. Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. What do you think is the most important life lesson you've learned working in coffee?
I think being humble. That's like I said, I love people,
mm-hmm.
and we mentioned right now there's 100 and so permanent employees. There's 700 pickers or 900 pickers during harvest, and then there's the customers coming in. So
that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. So the always being respectful, always being humble, being
kind.
Welcoming, being kind, being good hosts, and serve others, I think, and make them feel at home. I think I've learned a lot about that. And I think my dad and my uncle have been good examples.
Yeah, they are really good examples of that. I would imagine it gets pretty exhausting to be around that many people all the time.
No.
But yeah, I mean, you guys, I think, are the model of grace and like I said, amazing hosts. You spent some time in the States, so we'll wrap it up. If you had to tell everybody back in the States, or at least the 50 people who listen to our podcast, if they needed to know one thing about coffee producing here that you think they may not know, what would you want to tell them? Like, if they asked you, tell us about coffee, growing coffee or producing coffee in Guatemala, what would you say is like the one thing they should know?
It's a tradition in Guatemala to grow coffee. So my family is, I would be 6th generation, if you count when the first farm was bought. And it's a long process where you first have to choose what varietals to you want to plant, thinking about the consumer. So what does the people in Milwaukee may want? So let's plant this varietal. And then you have to wait 3 years. And you still have to work on the plants for those 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the coffee, and it's a really nice process where you need to, you cannot improve quality when you pick the cherry. Just maintain it as much as you can.
Yeah, you can only mess it up.
So there's a lot of people every day just watching the coffee and making sure everything goes as planned, and all of this thinking about the end consumer. There's a lot of, we might not know every customers, but we definitely think about them, and our workers are thinking about them and thinking about the quality.
Yeah,
so.
I think that ties back into what you said about like learning humility. Is like coffee, to take coffee from farm to cup, and you guys take it from farm all the way to the roaster, and even do some roasting in Guatemala City, like, anybody who's involved in coffee at a deep level sees all of the hands at play, and it is humbling, you know, to come down to origin. even once a year is kind of a calibrating experience mm-hmm. for me, because it helps put in perspective what I do every day, mm-hmm. you know, on the United States company side, like how to take a company forward on our side while understanding everything that's gone into the coffee to even bring it to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does have an impact. If you can grow a coffee company either at origin or in the United States, it has an impact because you're producing more coffee, and that's mm-hmm. the livelihood of so many people. In this yeah. one case, it's 700 to 1,000 people every yeah. year who rely on coffee production for their livelihood. And that's an amazing gift, actually, mm-hmm. is to be able to be in a business and grow a business that contributes to that mm-hmm. that many people. And then if you were to include Stone Creek, that's another 110 or so people. Uh-huh. And then everybody who then would transport the coffee, that's maybe another 10 people or mm-hmm. or yeah. more. So you mm-hmm. add all of that up before you even sell the coffee to the final consumer, and it's a lot of lives that are impacted just by, you know, sure. a couple coffee companies, which exactly. is pretty neat. Pretty neat and pretty yeah. great to be a part of, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, dude. Thanks for taking a few minutes. I know we're about to eat lunch or go back to the city. So, yeah, it's always a pleasure to see you for sure.
All right.
All right, everybody. That is Stone Creek Coffee Podcast, episode number 46. You can go on iTunes and binge listen to our previous 40-something episodes. Leave us a review on there if you would be so kind. That'd be great. To get your feedback. If you have coffee questions or topic ideas you'd like us to talk about, send us an email to podcast@stonecreekcoffee.com. Also on stonecreekcoffee.com, you can check out our whole line of farm-to-cup specialty coffee. I'm sure we have something on there that pretty much everybody would like, so make sure you take advantage of that awesomeness. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate you guys. Until next time, we are geeks.
And we're talking coffee.
Cheers.